Hey friends, Dan with Holy Spirit Soapbox. I hope you're doing well today. Today I want to talk about what God calls us to do. What are we supposed to do as Christians? If you're new to the faith or if you've been a Christ follower for so long, what are we supposed to do now? What do we do with our lives? What does God want us to do? And I'm going to start this off with a true story. Now, I worked in sales for several years as a hunter. If you don't know what a hunter is, it's where you go out and you find customers. You hunt customers. It's your responsibility to understand your product well and understand what good clients and prospects look like that could, you know, benefit from your products or services. And then you go and you get them. You want them to become customers. And I did it for a while, but man, I was not a fan of doing it. I couldn't find it in me to be so passionate about our products or services for a corporation or a company. And I don't feel passionate enough to go and evangelize. Literally, that's what they would call it to do. Like, go out and evangelize our products. Evangelize how good our products and services are that would benefit literally the world or whatever, our target market. Now, either way, I worked hard because I wasn't working for me. I was working for Christ and my family, and I just put my head down and worked as hard as I could, right? I made some sales and all was good in the hood, right? As people would say it. That's what we used to say as millennials, at least. Anyway, same thing with job interviews, right? If you're not in sales or if you've never been in sales, you've probably done a job interview, right? You get to know yourself really well. You understand your background. You understand what the company is looking for in a candidate, in the perfect candidate. Then you go and sell yourself to the hiring people, the hiring managers, right? And I had many job offers. I'm not going to lie to you. I've had many job offers, and I had it down to almost a science, if you want to call it that. I was really good at that. But both of these things were out of my comfort zone, sales and job interviews. I hate both. I don't like saying hate, but I dislike both a lot. And sometimes getting out of your comfort zone has some benefits. I did well at both things. Now, the point of me saying all this stuff is not to brag. I don't do sales anymore. I actually haven't done a job interview in a very long time. And all those achievements and stuff, I'm going to sound like Paul here, are just crap, okay? But there are many people who do the same thing with the gospel, including myself. And the same thing meaning we treat Jesus or God or the Bible or the gospel as a business. We treat it as a business. Now, I'm not talking from a monetary standpoint. I'm thinking from a mindset standpoint. You know, there's some similarities with how we might approach spreading the gospel, but God is not a business. Now, I say this because when I did interviews or if I did sales, I put all the faith in myself, and it was all for the benefit of me or my family, which is in turn for me. I needed a job, so I sold my background and personality, and I practiced and worked hard at it, at understanding who I was, and practiced interviews, and did all these habitual things so I would just crush it in an interview. I wanted to hit my numbers and get commission, sales commissions, so I sold our products and services by practicing pitches and stressing myself out to hit numbers. But it was all for me. And sure, I worked for the Lord. Right, I was working for the Lord, and I worked as hard as I could to represent the kingdom of heaven, regardless of where I was, who I was talking to, as much as I could. But ultimately, it benefited pretty much me and the company, of course, but it benefited me. And I was more than willing to step out of my comfort zone to make ends meet based on my faith in my abilities. I want to check out the Bible now. So that's my little story there. Let's go into the Bible in Matthew 28. If you have one, read along with me. But at this time, Jesus rose from the dead, and he made himself visible to the Marys. He then showed himself and talked to the 11 disciples or apostles at a mountain in Galilee that they used to frequent, I guess. And when he did this, he says in chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, this is Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, yours might say something a little bit differently depending on your translation. But essentially, he's telling the people, the disciples, the apostles, to go out and spread the gospel. Now, Mark 16 also says something similar, explaining that the disciples need to go out and they have to tell of the good news, the gospel, and that people should be baptized and will do great things in Jesus' name. This is often called the Great Commission. Now, commission, unlike sales commissions from a monetary standpoint, is the act of granting certain powers or the authority to carry out a particular task or duty. That's from the American Heritage Dictionary. Now, I guess you can argue that a company is granting, I don't know, certain powers or authority to carry out a particular task or duty, right? They give that to the salespeople, to the people that have to talk to customers. You can argue that. But in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, Jesus has all the authority, and all that was given to him will be present in spirit in the apostles and disciples and us to go out and tell the world the gospel or the good news and do great things with the power of the Spirit. Now, the difference here is when we go out and tell people the gospel, it should not be for our own benefit and should not be based on faith in ourselves, as I mentioned earlier. Sales, money, recognition, jobs, etc., they tend to be for our benefit, right? They tend to be for our benefit from a worldly perspective and require us to put faith in ourselves to succeed. Now, does this mean we shouldn't get jobs and shouldn't work? Of course not. We should, because we can minister to people in our companies. We can minister to clients or customers or whatever. But the whole point here is that we shouldn't put faith in ourselves to succeed of spreading the gospel. Spreading the gospel or the good news of what the disciples saw, and we all know what they saw, Jesus died, and then he rose up from the dead, and he conquered death. They saw that. So spreading this good news of what they saw and baptizing them should be for the benefit of the kingdom of heaven and led by the Holy Spirit. And as a side note, by the way, baptism, we're going to cover that in a different episode. I know there are a lot of people that ask, should I be baptized? Do I need to be baptized to be saved? What exactly is baptism? Why do we do baptism? Etc. Right? Should I baptize my child? All those questions I'm going to try and answer in another episode. But for now, we're going to talk about the commission, the Great Commission of Jesus telling us to go and spread the gospel. Now, I'm going to try to say this as lightly as possible. I'm not going to call any specific person or religion out, but there are some Christian or self-proclaimed Christian religious denominations that tend to take this to heart for the benefit of themselves or their church building slash organization. Yes, okay, going out and telling the world of Jesus the Christ's resurrection from the dead to grant eternal life will come with discomfort and is expected of us by Jesus. But it all comes down to why we're doing it. Let's put it this way. What sounds more accurate with what Jesus is telling his disciples to do in Matthew 28 and Mark 16? Number one, go out and tell the world about him as being risen because we love our denomination's organization that tells us to do it. And do it because we feel we should be doing it and have an opportunity to be recognized within the church and or have the ability to be greater in heaven and gain brownie points or Chuck E. Cheese tokens in heaven and be looked upon as a leader in heaven. Or go out and tell the world about Jesus because we love him so much. We love people so much. And in our natural identity in Christ, we are compelled to go out and tell others and serve others and bring friends, family, and strangers to Christ. And this is knowing that we've already benefited and we don't get a commission check or Chuck E. Cheese or arcade tokens for heaven. And this is knowing that we may or may not be persecuted for our love for Christ. Which one sounds a little more Christ-like to you? One, go out and spread the gospel because we're made to do that, or because somebody's telling me to do that, or somebody's telling me how to do that. Or two, go out because I love Jesus Christ and I want to tell the world of Jesus Christ. I don't know. Probably two, huh? Now, let's keep in mind, too, that our commission to go out and tell the world about the risen Jesus Christ may or may not look differently. depending on how we've surrendered to the Spirit in us and the power and the authority of Jesus. I mean, there are denominations that want to dictate what it looks like for all people to go out and preach the gospel. This is what you must do, and this is what it looks like to spread the gospel. This is A, B, C, D, and E. Check each box. Means you do that. That means you're good, and then you're going to heaven. And also, if you do F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, you're going to be much higher in heaven. And that's not what Jesus preaches and teaches in his entire ministry. The word disciple in Greek that is used here that I'm going to absolutely butcher is mathetuo, and it's a direct command. This direct command means both to be a disciple and to participate to make disciples. So as a parent, and this is from a worldly perspective, as a parent, I've really learned that the best way to teach is not only to tell our kids what to do, but to do it myself, do the same thing. So for instance, when you eat, chew with your mouth closed, kids. Do this as well as teach this. Clean up your mess. I do this as well as I teach this. Now, these worldly things come with habits and practices, so it's different. Spreading the gospel comes by gratitude, appreciation, faith, identity, and being in Christ and in spirit. It's not this forceful internal habit, but it's a way of life and a direct reflection of Jesus working in and through you. And here's how I know this. In the beginning of Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you," following his direct command to make disciples. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, observe means two things here. You have to be taught and preached to. But the best way that you're going to learn and it's going to stick is if you see somebody doing the same thing that they're teaching. Practice what you preach. Now, how can they observe all that was taught indirectly to the current disciples and apostles? How would they learn? Because the apostles and disciples lived it out. And how do we live it out? By surrendering completely to the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not telling us to put faith in ourselves to go out and make disciples. Right? If you think back, I have to put faith in myself to make sales. I have to put faith in myself to win a job interview, get a job. I have to practice chewing with my mouth closed so that my children see that and do the same. But if I'm living with my identity in Christ and allowing the Spirit to work in me, others will see that and say, "Hey, he's different for some reason. I want that too." It's not practicing to be in Christ. It's a just be in Christ as I was made to be, as we were all made to be. We were all made to be in the image of God, all meant to be and made to be in Christ. So if you're sitting here and you're already a Christ follower and you're baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you're asking, "What shall I do to go out and disciple?" or "What is God's will for me?" we're asking the wrong questions. Discipling or making disciples or being a disciple comes with being Christ-like. Being Christ-like comes with surrendering to God's will and dying to self. God's will is to unite all things in Christ, which has been revealed to us. All things must be and will be in Christ in order to fulfill God's eternal promise. We don't need to be in a certain place or country or city. We don't have to have a certain amount of money or goods or have a huge following or influence or whatever. All that doesn't matter. We need to have a firm foundation in Christ and a relationship with him. And we can spread the gospel to anyone, anywhere, right now, today. It's not I need to get this amount of money, or I need to do this thing, and I need to go somewhere. I have to seek a mission trip, and I have to go out and make disciples. God, show me the way. No, there are things that you do when you are in Christ, and you'll do it for your neighbors. You'll do it when you're getting your hair cut. You're doing it when you're out to dinner. You're doing it when you're just driving by and somebody needs help, like a good Samaritan. You're doing that in your own household with your family and friends and all. You will just be, and you will make disciples, because it's God that's making the disciples through you. Now, I love the song by Kane called The Commission. I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but if you haven't, go listen to it. It's so amazing. And Singers of Kane, if you're listening to this, thank you for the song, because I haven't wept in so long like I did listening to the lyrics of this song. Seriously. Some of the lyrics go like this. And I'm not going to sing it because I want you to keep listening to the podcast. Okay, here we go. Don't forget the things that I taught you. I've conquered death and I hold the keys. Where I go, you'll go too someday. But there's much to do here before you leave. So go tell the world about me. I was dead, but now I live. I've got to go now for a little while. But goodbye is not the end of the journey, the end of the road. My spirit is with you wherever you go. You have a purpose and I have a plan. I'll make you this promise. I'll come back again. Gosh, it's such a good song. These lyrics are so amazing. Now, this is Jesus talking to his apostles and disciples at the time to say, hey, go and make disciples. Go out and tell the world about me. Tell them of what you've seen. Tell them about me, because they have eternal life too. Now, at this time in history, going out and telling the world was a revolutionary movement, especially one with the commandment of love and peace. Usually it's like, oh, we want to go change the world. Okay, let's go kill them and let's use force. But no, this is revolutionary. This peace and love and just being in Christ and spreading that love to everybody else is amazing. It's so different. And we have to continue that on. So with this in mind, surrender to Christ and the Spirit. In every single moment, think and be eternal with the kingdom of heaven in your mind, always, in your heart, so that he will work in and through you to go and make disciples. Let him do the work, rest in him, and participate with him. When you have so much gratitude and love for God, your mood will change, your outlook will change, your perspective will change, and you'll want to go and tell everybody. And remember the one true gospel, which you've heard a lot of times on this podcast, and I'm going to say it almost every single episode if I can, if I can fit it in somewhere, because everybody needs to hear the gospel always. God wanted reconciliation with mankind after we walked away from him. So much so that he came in the flesh to endure the cross, then he died and resurrected for all who believe in him to have eternal life. Remember that and go out there and just be in Christ. Now, I want you to meditate on those verses. I want you to meditate on what Jesus says to go out and make disciples. Mark 16, Matthew 28. And I have a challenge today. I'm switching things up today. It's really exciting. I don't have a question, but I have a challenge for you today. Today, I want you to pray and meditate on what discipleship looks like. Now, remember, the best way to change the world is by changing ourselves. And the way we change ourselves is to love Jesus with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then you will want to go and tell the world about him. If you could take your prayer posture and join me in prayer, I'd love to pray over all of us and close us out. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love, for the love that you portray and you just radiate out in us and through us, so that the world can see who you are through Jesus Christ. We can see your heart in everything, and we can see you moving in your spirit in everything. And we ask of the Spirit to come and live in our hearts and live in our bodies, so that we can walk in the Spirit and we can participate with you to go and tell the world about you, to go and tell the world how amazing you are, to tell the world that they have eternal life if all they have to do is just believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and love you and understand that without you, we are nothing, that we have nothing, that you are the creator of all things, and you can kill the body and you can kill the soul, but you don't want to do that. You want all of us, and that is why you died on that cross and resurrected. We want you to continuously remind us of that. And we ask that you can take us away from when the world gets too overwhelming, when the world gets too much for us, or when the world seems so enticing that it looks better than you. We want to be taken away from that, and we want to be in Christ. We love you so much, God. Thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.